Dr. Lloyd has researched and experimented with many electrotherapeutic devices, including the Rife Bear unit, various versions of EM machines, Beck zappers and magnetic pulsers, low and high voltage contact pad devices, the F-Scan, Wade device, BioRay, and more. In his presentation, he will highlight some of the bioelectronic equipment available and suggest reasons why more than one type may be useful. I'd like a warm welcome for Dr. Richard Lloyd.
Okay. This will be fine. I'm not going to want. Okay. Well, hello. I'm glad to see there's still some people conscious after that lunch we just had. I'd like to share with you some thoughts about different kinds of devices that have been used over the years, and particularly in the context of dealing with cancer. If we're going to deal with cancer, I think all of us are aware that there are some causes that need to be looked at. Dr. Rife certainly found that one of the major causes was the, in the case of carcinoma, the BX virus, as he called it. And it would seem reasonable that in any cancer approach we're using today, we would want to kill that virus. So I'd like to share with you some ways that that can be done. There is a fairly inexpensive method of killing the virus. An extract of elderflowers, peppermint, black walnut, and burdock has been used for several years to deal with the BX and the BY viruses. That particular supplement or extract has an advantage in that everybody with carcinoma or sarcoma tests positive for syphilis using electronic technology. Now, they've never had syphilis, but someone in a previous generation did, and now they have, if you test them using sophisticated electronic equipment, you can find the traces of that left, and that's called the syphilitic miasm. The elder peppermint black walnut burdock product will deal with that as well as killing the virus. The product does work quite well. I once had someone, one of my clients, who had a neighbor that had bladder cancer. He'd already exhausted all the different kinds of treatments that were available, and now they said the only thing left was for the rest of his life to scrape out these tumors once every month or so, which I can imagine to be a fairly unpleasant procedure. He was having that done every month, and this neighbor that was coming to see me arranged to have a radionic saliva test for him that showed that he had the BX virus and that the best product to deal with it would be the elder peppermint combination. Well, I sent him the test results. He never called me. He never asked what the results of the test meant or anything like that. So finally one day I just threw him a bottle of the extract threw it in the mail, sent it to him. I got a call 2 months later. He was all excited. They'd gone in to scrape out the tumors and they declared him cancer-free. And the product doesn't always work that fast. I certainly don't consider it to be a cure-all for cancer, but it does have some anti-BX and BY capabilities. Using the frequency from Dr. Rife's lab notes, and I understand there's a great deal of debate over just what frequency Rife did use to kill the BX virus, but just using the number in his lab notes and assuming that he was not mixing it with anything else, I ran an experiment in 1999 using a $500 BNK 4040 function generator. I happened to have someone with fairly high levels of the BX virus available as a volunteer, which was myself. So I treated myself. I had the before levels determined, and I had the after levels determined, and in between the two, I treated myself for 20 minutes a day using 11,780,000 hertz. I had three different practitioners use their equipment in three different states to monitor what I was doing. And at the end of the time, they were all astonished. They'd never seen the levels of the virus drop that fast. So whatever else we may conclude about Rife's notes or any other theoretical considerations, I had one little bit of evidence that the frequency seemed to work quite well. The second experiment I did was using Charbonne's concept of dividing frequencies by two over and over again. Are you familiar with that? The idea is on a piano you have an A that's 880 hertz, another A that's 440 hertz, and so on. Same note, different frequencies, different octaves. So I took Rife's frequency from his notes, divided it by two over and over and over again until I got down to 2,876 point whatever it was, hertz. And this time, I had another volunteer, a person that also had prostate cancer, who did a before and after test with him also. And this time, we used 2,876 hertz on a B&K 4011 function generator. These are available for about $250. And they have an interesting characteristic. They are criticized because the frequencies wander. They're not real stable. The frequency drifts up a little bit, and they drift down a little bit. It kind of reminds you of Bill Bajoli's concept of 0.01 hertz steps in a sweep. Well, this thing makes an infinitely variable sweep just because it's so inaccurate and so poorly made from the standpoint of someone that wants completely accurate frequencies. So I had my volunteer dial in 2,876 hertz, and I told him every time it wandered to another number, just nudge it back in the general direction where it should be. And he was quite a bright fellow, and he was able to keep up with these instructions, and after a week it was determined that his virus had dropped dramatically. Now, you can try this with a real accurate frequency device using a sweep. So it's going to go 2,000, or you can take an accurate frequency device, use 2,876 hertz, and you're still going to have quite a bit of error because Rife's frequency is 4,000 times higher than the one we're using. That make sense? I divided it by two so many times that a one hertz change at 2,876 is going to be over 4,000 hertz error at the top. So if you have a device that does sweeps in one hertz steps, see, you're going to be pretty far wide of the mark if you're trying to treat something at 11 million hertz. So that's why I'm so interested in what Bill has been doing. I've been asking him to give me a little half shoebox size version of his unit for years, and or for last year at least, and I'm hoping to see that soon, because that kind of fine sweeping is the reason that he's had some success with cancer, I believe. I think you can nail the virus if you can either drift, you know, if you have a unit that's so poorly made, we can say, that it drifts, or if it'll do sweeps in very small steps, like Bill is producing. So that's why I think drift is very handy. There's also another unit that can be used to kill the virus, and that's called the BX1. The BX1 takes an amateur radio transmitter, and it's been modified so that it would operate on all frequencies between 1.8 million and 30 million hertz. And then you feed the output of that into an antenna tuner, and of course use a standing wave ratio meter and that sort of thing. And then you can take 11,780,000 hertz, and you can either feed it into an antenna, like some people are doing. There's about 30 of these units in this country using antennas. Or, like I did, I just simply put a 15-tor CHEB helium Fanatron tube on the output, and what I ended up with was, as far as I know, something that somewhat resembled what was done 70 years ago. And there's two of those units that are operating with CHEB helium phenitron tubes. We may not, I mean, there's argument about the 11,780,000 hertz, but we're having some very exciting things happen. People that are recovering quickly from cancer. One of the people using this device has a husband who would come and sit in with her on these sessions. On this particular day, we were using the antenna setup. So there was an antenna wound on a piece of cardboard that had pictures of Garfield on the outside. It was actually one of these shades that people use, you know, on their windshields. So here's Garfield. She's got Garfield on each side, and she has this antenna, and she's sitting in the middle, and she's treating herself with the use of the BX1 and 11,780,000 hertz. Her husband was sitting on a couch nearby, and he began to make it very obvious that he was in severe distress. I thought he was going to pass out. He was extremely uncomfortable. So we stopped the procedure, took the frequency that was being used, divided by two, over and over and over again, until we came down to the Hulda Clark range. We got out the book, and it was the frequency for strep. Hulda Clark's frequency for strep was exactly 32 times lower than what we were using. And he said, well, that's interesting, because he'd had this chronic strep infection for years, and they'd never been able to get rid of it. So the next time she came back, he sat in again. He had only a minor distress this time, and the third time, no reaction at all. So it appears, using Schar's mathematics, you can also go the other way. You can multiply things by two until you get up in the megahertz range where the BX1 operates. So that's a very fascinating device. Other devices that can be used, obviously the Rife Bear 2876, if you have a way to get a sweep or in very small increments, you're going to have a much better chance of nailing the virus. The EMEM 2 and 3 and 3D and so on, those units they tend to drift by nature. As the components warm up on the little 555 board, the frequency wanders. So what I have people do is dial in 2875, turn it on, leave it on a minute, and when they turn it off, it's at 2877. So it does that until it warms up. So what we're doing is, here's the target frequency, and then you're just going, and at least you're getting something. So if they do that often enough, they can reduce the levels of the virus. We're doing some experimenting now with the a modification of the violet ray. You can take a function generator, feed it through a Radio Shack amplifier, and I have all the details on which amplifier is being used at royalrife.com. You take this amplifier, you feed the output into an ignition coil, and the output of the ignition coil goes right into a violet ray tube, just the same ones that people have on their violet ray devices. This little device is turning out to work very well. You take a ground plate, put it on one side of the body, and the violet ray on the other side of the body. My son built one of these out of an old EMEM-3. He just took the CHEB phenitron out of it and stuck a connection to the violet ray in there instead, and it worked very well on a chronic yeast infection. He said he thought it cleared it up faster than other technologies. And while he was treating that, he noticed that a growth on one of his feet that had been bothering him dried up and fell off too. And he had had surgery planned for that one. The second thing that a person can do in the area of dealing with cancer is obviously kill parasites. The Hulda Clark Zapper is something that people have used for that. It doesn't penetrate the gut very well. So what we've done with that is reduce the frequency down into I like to use 727 hertz to make these, and I have the plans for that one also on my website, we can get a higher voltage out of it. You can get enough so you can get quite a sizzle from these little zappers. 727 hertz. We've upped the duty cycle so it's on 75% of the time. And the other thing is a discovery made by Bill Bajali. If you take a... Let me back up a little bit. At, I think, the first or second conference we had up on Vancouver Island, Dr. Gary Geer was there. Some of you probably remember him. He pointed out that when you hook a Clark zapper up to someone, you no longer have a square wave, that the corners go round. So instead of up, over, and down, it just kind of goes, you know, like that. And I took one of these and hooked it up to an oscilloscope, and sure enough, no square wave once you hook it up to a person. So Gary Geer had noticed that years ago, and he tried to fix it by reducing the output voltage of the zapper till you only had 1.5 volts or 2 volts output. Then the wave would stay fairly square. Dr. Bajali figured out another way to do it. And it's kind of handy to have someone around with a PhD in electrical engineering and a doctorate in naturopathic medicine. Interesting combination. Bajali is quite an asset to the Rife movement. What he said to do was to take a 10 microfarad capacitor and put it across the output resistor. And again, I have this diagram on my website on how to do all this. Then when you hook a person up to it, you get a very square wave and lots of harmonics. And they, by the way, they can feel it much better too, because those square corners seem to be something that people can feel. Anyway, that's the way to kill parasites. The Rife Bear technology, and when I say Rife Bear, I'm including all the different radiant plasma devices, the Beam Ray, the EMEM 2 and 3, and all these different things like that are ways to kill parasites. Of course, with those, and you go to the consolidated frequency list on Brian McKinturf's website, you're going to find that there's a rather large number of frequencies there. So it's going to take a lot of effort. It is worth it. We can break down growths or tumors using alfalfa with a radionics charge, using high doses of enzymes. The radionics charges, by the way, the charge to break down unnatural growths is made by passing the hot side of 110 volts through exactly 50,000 ohms. Then you put a capacitor on the other end, on the treatment end, to keep from electrocuting yourself. Just a little polyester capacitor. And then the output goes to a copper mesh, and you can store your alfalfa on there for 12 hours, and when you're done, it has the capability of helping to break down tumors. That's a radiation activation of 05000, which is 50,000 ohms. We don't know why resistances in series with electricity do things, but they are extremely powerful. Another thing that can be done is, and by the way, for the one you would use for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma would be a radionics activation of 20580, which would be, let me see, we're going to have to move the decimal point over. It's going to be, well, just add a zero to that number I gave you. It's going to be 205,080 ohms in series. And between killing the virus with elder peppermint or an extract made from grape plants, I've had half a dozen consecutive recoveries of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma without medication. So 20580 is the activation, and add a zero to it gives you the number of ohms. If people have prostate cancer with a high PSA, their PSA goes down if you treat them with 80300, which would be 803,000 ohms in series with the hot side of 110 volts. Please don't try this at home unless you... unless you're used to using high voltages. 80300 is the activation for tuberculosis, and we do not know why it lowers the PSA, but it does. So far, the record that I've worked with was a man that had a PSA of 450, and he had tumors sticking out all over his body. And medically, they were hoping, he was in his middle 80s, they were hoping he was just going to expire, you know. So they didn't give him any treatment. And his PSA, using the virus-killing techniques, the 05000 and the 80300, his PSA went down to less than 1. And by the way, I've had about 5 people in the last month tell me their PSAs were going down. So I'm not just giving you a bunch of theory. These are things that people are using every day. Another thing about breaking down growths, there was a man in Seattle who had Lyme disease. He owns a factory along with some other people. He had Lyme disease. He let other people run the factory. He just stayed home and prepared to die. I mean, he was really, really sick. Somewhere along this, about this time, he found out that there had been a person by the name of Royal Rife, and that Royal Rife had figured out ways to kill pathogens with frequencies. Well, this person that we'll call Doug, his unit is called the Doug device. Doug apparently had money, because the first thing he did is he went out and bought a Zeiss microscope, the sort of thing that some of the rest of us would really like to have. And he wound a coil of wire, and he told me it was the size of a 50-cent piece. Just a little coil of wire the size of a 50-cent piece with a hole in the middle, and he put that underneath the stage of the microscope. He knew someone at the Centers for Disease Control, and he got himself a sample of Borrelia, Lyme disease spirochete. And he was able to observe these things under the microscope. He took a function generator and a 100-watt amplifier, and he watched these things, and he tuned frequencies, and all of a sudden they popped. And he was the first person in modern times that I know of to ever find an MOR of something using a microscope. And he was able then to develop a treatment device. When he got to the treatment stage, he realized his little 50-cent piece coil was probably not going to do it. So he got himself a very large coil of wire. It's like the size of wire that a 500-foot roll of number 12 house wire comes on. And he bought himself an MX-2000. That's a 2,000-watt audio amplifier, the kind that rock bands use to cause permanent bodily harm, you know, to the people that stand too close to the speaker. Yeah, some, that kind of thing, yeah. He got himself an MX-2000. This is not the 2000A. Someone later tried this with a 2000A, and all they got was smoke and flames and that sort of thing. But the old 2000s, I've also tried this with an MX-1500, which you can still find on eBay. They're on eBay all the time, continually. 1500, but not the 1500A. Anyway, he took the 2000, he put a capacitor in series with this coil, a big oil-filled capacitor, so he's got a couple of microfarads of capacitance and this huge coil, so that it resonated at the frequency that he found. And he fed the frequency into the coil, and he treated his foot, and he treated his thigh and his knee, you know, and he just kept going like this, and he got over Lyme disease that way. After he got over Lyme disease, he had an acquaintance with breast cancer, and she says, well, would this work for breast cancer? She says, beats me, I don't know. So he found a frequency list, and it said, well, 2,127 or 2,128 might work. So he wound another smaller coil, found a capacitor that would match that frequency. He's using a higher frequency, so he's using a smaller coil. And he managed to get the impedance to match so he could run 20 amps through this coil, just like he did for Lyme disease. So he's running 20 amps through the coil. She holds it up to the tumor. He said that she could actually tune it by feel. She could actually feel something moving or happening in there. And she could tune it to 2,128 without looking. I thought that was a very interesting thing. 2,128 may be a cancer virus frequency. It may be a cancer tumor cell frequency. I don't know. What I do know is that she got over breast cancer, and they've now reported about a dozen consecutive cases of breast cancer doing well with that frequency. I have a unit like that myself, and when women have held that up to the tumor, they have sometimes complained that it felt hot. One lady was immediately startled when the switch was thrown, said it was way too hot. The amperage was turned way down. She started off with about 3 amps is all she could tolerate. And then the next time she could tolerate 4 amps and 5 amps and so on. After only 2 weeks on that program, she was pronounced well medically. And at that same time, I had another one that was pronounced well in 2 weeks medically. And I don't, you know, I'm not a physician. I don't treat people. But I do have some equipment that I let them come use, and that's one of the devices that I have. So those are some ways that the tumor itself can be broken down. I think that little violet adjustable frequency violet ray probably would be a winner for that sort of thing. Of course, the frequency in the 2008 area would be used for sarcoma. Oh, I need to make a comment on that. A medical diagnosis of carcinoma or sarcoma tells you what kind of tissue the cancer occurs in. It does not tell you anything at all about which virus it is. So in Reif's case, he called the BX virus carcinoma because he isolated it from a carcinoma tissue. But you could just as well isolate the BY virus from a carcinoma tissue. So even if you have a diagnosis of carcinoma or sarcoma that you're dealing with, please don't assume that has anything to do with the virus, because it does not. If you don't have any way to tell which virus it is, you must treat both. And that's why people that just use 2128 may not have any benefit at all. By the way, there is on one of the websites, there's the frequency for sarcoma or BY virus listed as 1,430,000 hertz. And Jason and I were talking about that last night, and he said, "Where'd that frequency come from?" I said, "I don't know. I got it off of somebody's website." I had a chance to use that frequency long before I was ready to do so. There was a lady who came from Korea to the United States looking for help. She had very advanced breast cancer that had gone into the bones and into her right shoulder. She was in severe pain, heavily medicated. Because of the medication, she could not keep anything down. And obviously she wasn't going to be around very long in this kind of a situation. So her husband brought her over. We had done a quick radionics saliva test. I'd sent that sample off, and it came back that it was the sarcoma virus, even though it was a carcinoma of the breast. So that's when I got on the internet and found the frequency of 11,430,000 hertz. And so using a BNK 5050, 4040 rather, generator, that frequency was applied for half an hour or so a day. She got an EMEM 3D. She used the elder peppermint combination. She took lots of enzymes and so on. And after a few days, she was pain-free. And I saw the x-rays, by the way, and they were a mess. You know, she had gone into her bones, into her lungs. Her right shoulder was all but missing. I mean, there was just, where there would have been bones, there was just a dark mass there. She had, you could see in the ribs, there were spaces where the ribs just weren't there because the bones had tumors there instead. I don't know how to read x-rays, but I could see that this looked really bad. Anyway, they took equipment to their motel room and used it for 6 hours a day, a little different from Reif's 3 minutes every third day. Anyway, she used this equipment. We didn't have the the BX-1 at that time to apply high power, 11,430,000. But she used used the equipment she had 6 hours a day, and after a month, we went out to this huge Korean meal to celebrate the symptom-free situation that she was in. And a radionic saliva test showed that the BY level had dropped to zero. So I don't have a lot of experimental evidence for that 11,430,000 hertz. I don't have any evidence for the lower version, which would be, 2,790, is it? Somewhere around in there. I don't have any evidence for that at all, but these are just some things that are definitely worth experimenting with. Enzymes. I had a client one time who told me she got over cancer using a product that she'd gotten from Dr. William Donald Kelly. Some of you have heard of him. He has a website, drkelley.com. Dr. Kelly formulated a product for the Carlson Laboratories called DA34. And this lady said that she used DA34 from Carlson Laboratories to get over cancer. And I said, well, how many did you take? She says he told me to take a handful several times a day. So if enzyme therapy didn't work for somebody, you know, ask them how many handfuls they went through in a day. And that's probably why that product is available in a 500 size. That lasts you about 3 or 4 days with this program. Anyway, enzymes. Getting rid of toxins, of course, is important, and that's the hard part. There are a number of ways to get rid of metal from the teeth. Of course, if you went to see Dr. Clark when she had her clinic in Tijuana, the first thing she did was send you across to the street to the dentist who would pull your root canal or filled teeth. That was step number one. People are getting over cancer without those kinds of radical treatments, but on the other hand, there are people that don't get over cancer because of teeth. EDTA is a good way to deal with mercury. It was once thought that it was not. It's because they're measuring it in the urine, but actually it goes out in the stool. And so that's a thing that can be used. A lot of the EDTA breaks down in the digestive tract, so there's a product now available in a suppository form, which absorbs very well from the gut. Oh, I just want to say something briefly about root canals. Several years ago, a lady with breast cancer that had gone into her liver came for assistance. She went on a program. A month or so later, her medical doctor told her she was now cancer-free. What had been a tumor in her liver was now a small calcified spot. He said he'd never seen a spontaneous remission of liver cancer like that before. After she was feeling so much better, she went down to California to visit a friend. She developed a tooth problem. She got a root canal. It didn't fix the pain. They did a root canal on either side of the original one. She got very ill. They rushed her back up to Seattle. And by the time she got there, her liver had swollen up by like a watermelon. Just enormous. And this time the doctor said he'd never seen cancer grow that fast, ever. And they put her immediately on massive doses of chemotherapy. And the cause of death on the certificate was listed as cancer. It's pretty unusual for somebody to die of cancer. Do you know that? Doesn't happen very often. Most people that have cancer die of chemical poisoning. Does that make sense? That's what happened to her. Chemical poisoning. Anyway, teeth are an issue. I talked about enzymes. I want to just say something briefly about chemistry. There's one school of thought that the main thing you have to do with the chemistry is get the saliva pH alkaline. On my website at royalrife.com, I have a description of a metabolic testing system that includes the information on slow and fast oxidizer, sympathetic, parasympathetic, all of these other well-known imbalances. But it includes the work of Dr. Emmanuel Ravisi. And Ravisi had two basic imbalances, anabolic and catabolic. Catabolic we are calling dysaerobic at this time. That's what I call it on my website. But it's Ravisi's catabolic imbalance. These people have very acid urine. Their urine is, it has a, it's very dense. The specific gravity is high, like 1.025, 1.030. The surface tension, and I use a surface tension gauge, the surface tension of the sample is going to be very low, because surface tension in urine is controlled by the amount of oxidative stress or lipid peroxides. So the people with a catabolic imbalance are making lots of free radicals. Can you see how there might be a cancer connection? Lots and lots of free radicals. These people also have a very high saliva pH. So if the main goal is to find supplements that raise the saliva pH, you know, you could kill somebody. Because these people have extremely rapidly growing cancers. There was a lady one time came to see me, and I have had this thing happen more than once. Extremely catabolic, dysaerobic, extremely low surface tension, very dense sample, very alkaline saliva, very acid urine. Tumors growing very rapidly. Correct the chemistry, kill the virus, take some enzymes, tumor shrinks, very ovarian cancer in this case. Ovarian tumor shrinks very rapidly. Went from medium cantaloupe to medium orange size in just a few weeks. She met somebody that said, no, 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 that's all wrong. Cancer is always anabolic. So he gave her an anti-anabolic supplement, which made her more what? Catabolic. Pushed her right back into the original imbalance. Her ovarian tumor grew very rapidly, and she died. Before she died, she said that that person who gave her supplements without having any way to test to see what she needed had killed her. And her family, by the way, still comes to see me. So I had a young man recently who had tumors all over his body, and he was scheduled for a biopsy to see exactly what they were. And 1 week before the biopsy, his chemistry was corrected. He sat in front of some machines. The doctor who had seen these things and was going to biopsy them, 1 week later could not find a single trace. So correcting the chemistry is a good idea. An alkaline saliva is not the whole story. Some of the sickest people in the world have rheumatoid arthritis and alkaline saliva, you name it. Okay, there's a lot more that can be said about cancer. Contact pad devices work very well if you have the right frequency. They penetrate just fine at some frequencies. There's a unit called the Ray device. A guy by the name of Ray in Seattle took a 200-volt power supply and used that voltage to and varied the frequency of this voltage with a function generator. So he has 200 volts output on his pad device, but he has a little chip in there that controls the current, so it cannot make more than 1 milliamp. And they've seen 7 or 8 consecutive cancer recoveries using that on 2128 or 2008. Very handy little device. I'm hoping somebody makes those commercially. If you had something like that with Bajali's sweep hooked to it, you know, that'd be pretty nice. I'd like to say some things about the enhancer. I've had some wonderful adventures with that. Some very humorous adventures, but I'm not going to say anything about that. Oh, one quick story about the EMEM2, the earlier version of that electric, you know, the automotive coil device. The construction details are naturally at royalrife.com, by the way. EMEM 2. Paul Joan had three friends with prostate inflammation. One of them was wearing diapers, and one of them had an almost complete blockage. Took one of these EMEM 2s with the copper wrap around the tube. One wire from the wrap to one foot, ground wire to the other foot. He treated these guys on 2050 and 2250, and all of them completely recovered, all three of them, with one treatment. So some of these little things you can build at home really work very, very well. The MEM3, by the way, there was a man who had prostate cancer and it had gone into his bones, and he got an EMEM3, a single coil version. His medical doctor asked him to get it, and 6 months later, his medical doctor said, well, he seems to be making some progress, and a year later, he said he was cancer-free. The bone and prostate had both cleared up. So I asked the guy exactly what procedure he was doing with it, the patient, that is. I said, exactly how did you use it? And he said, well, I lay in bed with a tube right on my belly, and I just let her run, you know. I said, well, tell me about the frequencies. And I said, well, he said, I just used 727 hertz. I thought, what? You know, 727 hertz is all he used. But because there's a spark gap in there, of course, he was getting lots of harmonics. But then we did a radionic saliva test, and the virus level was still very high. So if he'd ever slacked off, the tumors would have come right back. So then he had to learn how to kill the virus. A couple comments about the F-scan. We used the F-scan to find the frequency for a lady that had, she said, a very large worm in her abdomen. She could feel this thing moving around. The F-scan found 1,360 hertz, killed the worm. She passed it, and I said, did you bring it to me? Did you save it for me? She said, no, I was at work, and I didn't want to walk through my office with this thing over my finger, you know? So, anyway, we're never going to get to have that one in a jar. But someone else has taken 1,360 hertz. Someone up in the Edmonton area took 1,360 hertz and killed very large worms using a frequency generator fed into an amplifier and fed into an antenna array. Now they're using antennas with audio frequencies. And he had a young lady in the room, and they had this thing tuned to 1,360 hertz. She ran from the room, and just sitting 5 feet from this little antenna, looks like a toilet paper tube with a cap on each end. She goes running out of the room, runs to the bathroom, throws up all these dying worms, vomits them up. Anyway, one more quick one. A lady with rheumatoid arthritis. I have a fibromyalgia story, but there probably isn't time for it. There definitely is not time. Rheumatoid arthritis came in a week ago Friday. The F-scan found a bunch of frequencies up in the 300 to 400,000 hertz range. Treated them, went home. Next day she was symptom-free. Last Saturday she was symptom-free. A week ago today she was still symptom-free. Then she calls up and says, well, the symptoms are starting to come back again. Well, we only ran the frequencies 2.5 minutes, but it was, then it really wasn't long enough to eradicate anything. So she decided to use another piece of equipment, and the frequencies off the list for rheumatoid arthritis did not help at all. So I think there's something to be said for accurate frequencies, and the F-scan is one of the ways to do that. Okay, if you have questions, the microphone, please. Make them real easy, will you? It's been a long day.
All right, so I was just curious if you've had... You were mentioning that EDTA has been found to be successful in removing mercury through the stools, but how would you compare it to DMSA and removing mercury from the body? Is there equal or what?
May not be as fast, might be a lot safer.
Because it's not going through the kidneys.
Dr. Dietrich Klinghart says that DMSA is pretty risky stuff.
Because of it, is that because of it bringing it through the kidneys, you think?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not a physician, and there's just an awful lot that I don't know.
And then one other thing you commented about was successfully, like the person, the next thing he had to do was get rid of his viruses. Do you have a methodology for eradicating viruses, herpes, the ones that are like in the nerves and stuff?
Well, I'm with Bill Bajali. I hardly ever look at a frequency list anymore.
Okay.
We F-scan them, or if you have one of his units... 0.01 hertz steps. Or an infinitely variable sweep or something, you know, like that.
And you've got cards and literature and website address on a table somewhere? Or?
Well, the paper that I have where I talk about the different kinds of devices is actually, most of you have a copy already. I brought a couple hundred copies of it. There's a few left on the F-scan table in there.
Okay.
All the information about the F-scan that I have is at royalrife.com. There was a flyer we were going to use, but I was told by the people that I get them from, that the people in Japan, that the flyer might be a little inflammatory in its claims. So,
thank you.
My website is inflammatory enough.
I'm Dr. Gordon, and I'm the one that brought chelation to this country. I'm the head of the American Board of Chelation Therapy, and we want everybody to know my website, gordonresearch.com, will clarify these issues. Dietrich Klinghardt's a dear friend of mine. He's now using our oral EDTA. It doesn't break down the body, and it's dirt cheap. And in a polluted world, everybody will wind up on oral EDTA every day of our life. I'm on 6 grams of oral EDTA every day. And we love the suppositories if you have a weak stomach, but they're a little more expensive than the oral. So I just wanted to clarify that, but it was a wonderful talk.
6 grams a day, did you say?
Yeah, but remember, I'm the father of chelation. I'm 67 years of age, and I'm the one that started the American Board of Chelation Therapy and ACAM, so I trained 1,000 doctors. We thought we had to do it IV. Now we're down to a 1 minute and an oral, and the mercury comes out so fast in the feces and the stool, because that way it has no place to run. So for tough cases, we do a 1 minute calcium EDTA on the arm, take it by mouth, and the mercury is coming out so fast that doctor's data is unable to believe the results we're getting on fecal and urine. So that's the new movement.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
GordonResearch.com. It's got 500 pages. You'll be there a while. And the good news, to let you all know about cancer, we have proof that all the things we're thinking about are right. We have 15,000 patients now in Japan. We followed 18 years, not a single cancer death. Look for Kobayashi, K-O-B-A-Y-S-H-I, on my website, and you'll learn that natural treatments is all it takes to keep people alive with cancer. We have documentation.
Well, I've read that 90% of the EDTA breaks down in the digestive process, but if you took 6 grams a day, you could afford to...
No, the problem was always that it was only 5% absorbed. If you're extremely healthy, if you are sick, you're absorbing 18%. It is not metabolized in the body. So what you read was not the story.
Okay.
It was the absorption. That's why I stayed with the IV. But it turned out that now that we've done all these studies and found that what you take IV is a lot of it going into the gut. And if you don't take all at the same time, you're being cheated, because the IV is pushing some of it in the guts. If you take it oral and IV, and obviously one or the other, they have advantages. It's all on my website, but it's fun to do both. That is the most dramatic.
Thank you.
An interesting point on using the F-scan. I've used the F-scan for a year, and I had one fellow with he had lung cancer, asbestos poisoning. He was committed to do chemo, and he did a chemo every 3 weeks. I started working with him. I had to wait for 1 week after he did his chemo, because otherwise he'd vomit consistently. After I started with 1 week after doing 3 sessions a week, I was able to change his activity, improve his lifestyle, and between his 5 chemos, he never lost a stitch of hair. And he put on 2 to 3 pounds between the 3 weeks. I thought this was real great.
Thank you. Cancer patients are about the only people that want to put on weight these days, I guess. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.